الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وعنه رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة ومن يسر على معسر يسر الله عليه في الدنيا والآخرة ومن ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه ومن سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة ومن اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده ومن بطأ به عمله لم يسع به نسبه رواه مسلم. الحمد لله. We read the hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه last time in which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم he mentioned when a person dies his amal discontinues except for three things: صدقة جارية or ilm, which can benefit people, or a pious child who can make dua for him. So ilm is something which is not a temporary action. Ilm is a continuous action. Ilm is a form of sadaqa jariya. As long as people benefit from that ilm, the person who has taught that ilm, he will have thawab. And as long as the cause of benefit is there, the thawab will continue. This is also a narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, anybody who relieves a difficulty from a believer, Allah will from the difficulties of dunya, Allah will relieve from him a difficulty from the difficulties of qiyamah. And anybody who makes it easy for a person who is in great distress, in great difficulty, Allah will make it easy for him in dunya and akhirah. Anybody who covers up a Muslim, Allah will cover him in dunya and akhirah. And Allah is in the help of a servant as long as the servant is in the help of his brother. And we have the continuity of the hadith. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he has designed this life in a way that we always have challenges in our life. Every day you wake up, there is something new. No matter how lucky you might be, there is always some sort of discomfort. There is always some sort of ibtila, some sort of test. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he created life and death so that he can test you. If everything goes according to your wish, there is no test. People have to be tested so that Allah can see how they react. Allah Azza wa Jal will not only test by difficulties, Allah Azza wa Jal, he also tests by comfort. So Allah wants to see, when you are in na'im, are you grateful? When you are in difficulties, are you patient? Now, sometimes people are in difficulty and they need help. They may or may not approach for help, and somehow you happen to know that this person is in difficulty. Now, if you relieve any difficulty, even it might be a smaller one, it doesn't have to be a great difficulty. It doesn't have to be somebody in the prison and you have to help him out of the prison. It does not have to be somebody has $1 million debt and you are paying off his debt. Kurbatan min kurabid dunya. Any difficulty, any concern, any worry from the worries of dunya, Allah Azza wa Jal will relieve him from a great difficulty, from the difficulties of Qiyamah. This is only the beauty of Arabic language. That the first kurba, which is related to dunya, that means a minor, a smaller difficulty. But the kurba, which is related to akhirah, it means a greater difficulty. You don't have this added beauty, added benefit in any other language. The words are same. مَنْ نَفَّسَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Anybody who relieves a difficulty from the difficulties of dunya, Allah will relieve him from a difficulty, from the difficulties of akhirah. So, in terms of the word is same. But the context in which it is said, and the delicacy of the Arabic language, it means that if you relieve a very, very small difficulty of a person in dunya, Allah will relieve a great difficulty on the Day of Judgment. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. And pleasure from Allah is very great, is greater. Pleasure. If Allah is happy with you, that is really great. Now, Allah does not have to be very, very happy in order for that pleasure to be great. If Allah is this much happy with you, that is great. Just a mere happiness, just a tiny bit of happiness from Allah Azza wa Jal is really great. And the same applies to here as well. If you are offering any help to anybody, even though it might be a very small kind of help, Allah appreciates it so much that in exchange for that, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will help you in a very great manner. Because although in Akhirah you have compensation, in Akhirah you have jaza, in Maliki Yawmiddin, it is the Day of Judgment, it is the real meaning, or the original meaning of deen is compensation. Although generally we translate as day of judgment, but it is the day of compense. It is the day when you get what you paid for. You get compensation for your deeds, whether good for good or bad for bad. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever has done khayr, equivalent of an atom, he will say it. Whoever has done evil, equivalent of an atom, he will say it. So although you have compensation for your deeds, good or bad, however, the compensation, especially for the good, will not match the good you have done. It will be far greater than the good you have done. Because it is Allah who is giving you compensation. It is Allah who appreciates. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He appreciates well. You're traveling somewhere. You find somebody's car broken. If you want to move on, you can move on. Because that is not your business. Somebody's car is broken. Well, let him call AAA. Or I don't know. Do you have AAA or BBB? Whatever it might be. Okay, that is his problem. But you think, well, you know, it is middle of night or middle of the day, hot day, cold day. It is not fair, somebody is stuck somewhere. You don't know how long it's going to take. It could be a small thing, and I might be able to help him. You stop. And somehow you find out, you know, is there anything I can do for you? Yeah, this is the problem. And that it is very small problem, but somehow because of that small problem, this person is stuck. Now this person is so grateful for you because he was on a very important journey. He had to go and, you know, chair a meeting or something. Now he says, can I please have your number? Can I please, you know, have your address? Okay. You give him your phone number, you give him your address. Now later on, this person, he calls you and he says, well, I would like to see you in Washington. I would like to see you in New York, for example. I would like to see you in Mecca. I would like to see you somewhere. When you go, you realize that he's a big minister. You realize that he's a prince. He's a chief executive of a very important organization. Now, he would like to offer you something in compensation. Is he going to give you that screwdriver which you used to help him with the car for compensation? No. He is going to compensate according to his status. He is not going to do the same. Although it is compensation, but the compensation does not have to match the good you have done. Because the compensation will match how much he will value your help. It would be according to his appreciation, and Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, he is the best to appreciate, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why I was saying this, because the ulama, they have said that the first qurba is qurba haqira, and the second qurba is qurba azima. If you relieve a very small difficulty, Allah will relieve a great difficulty on the Day of Judgment. If people realize this, then they will not undermine any good deed. And that's why we have in some other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Do not undermine any good deed. Any good deed. You never know. You never know what luck it can bring. It can look like an egg, but it could be a golden egg. You never know. You never know it can be a key for a treasure. You never know it can open so many doors. You never know that because of that small deed, Allah might wipe out big sins. Why not? We have, you know, various narrations. We have the famous story of the woman who offered water to a dog. And just because of offering water, that lady was forgiven. She was forgiven. And the same also applies to bad deeds as well. A person should not consider a bad deed to be a tiny, but it is a bad. It is a bad action. It is a sin. It is a disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. So it is great. Even though it might look very small. The woman who caged a cat or kitten, neither she will feed that cat, nor she will leave the cat go and look for food herself. No, cat, how many cats are there? There are lots of cats. If one cat dies, so what? If one cat dies, what will happen? Who is going to ask you? No, but that cat is creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. That cat is creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. We have not given life to that cat. And we do not have the right to take that life, that cat's life. In fact, we do not have the right to cause any harm or any distress to that cat. Subhanallah. among the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have people who are so delicate because of their spirituality that they would not cause harm to an ant. Forget about, you know, causing harm to people or to act indiscriminately. Forget about that. We had people who would not cause any harm to even ants. Obviously, in the Quran we have the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. لَا يَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. The ants, they were talking to each other that, look, Sulaiman's army is coming, alayhi salam. But it is mentioned about some pious people that they used to have small bells in their legs, tiny bells. I'm not saying whether you should have bells or not, because sometimes some people have excuse. When you have ghalaba of hal, you know, it is not in your hand. So it is mentioned about a person that he used to have small bells in his legs, so that whenever he walks outside, he can make noise. And that was only to make sure that the ants can disappear, so you don't cause any harm even to ants. So if a person would offer any relief, even though it might be a tiny bit of relief, from the release of dunya, Allah Azza wa Jal will offer him relief from a great difficulty, of the difficulties of the day of judgment. I was reading this hadith. Allah Azza wa Jal, he did not mention that Allah will offer him relief from the difficulties of dunya. Although we have that meaning for something else. If a Muslim would cover up another Muslim, say you happen to find out something about somebody. We are all human beings, and we all have weakness. We all have our own deficiency. Al-kamal lillah. Perfection is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human being is not perfect, other than Anbiya alayhi salam. So you happen to know somebody's weak point. Now either you can expose him, that is your choice. You can go and tell people that I know this person in and out. I know everything about him. I know him from long time. I know him since he used to use bicycle. And then he started riding a bike. Then he bought a car. Then he had his own business. Then. I know him in and out. Or you can say, well, he's a human being. He's like me, he's like anybody else. Okay, he has this weakness, but he also has so many other good things. I might have weaknesses worse than this weakness. I might have something I might know or I may not know, and that can be more serious than this weakness. So it's not for me to go and talk to other people about this weakness. On top of that, he is Allah's creation. He is a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah can tolerate him with all his weaknesses, then who am I to judge him? Allah knows more about him than myself. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he does not expose him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not expose him. May Allah forbid, if Allah wanted, a person might commit a sin and the sin will be written on his forehead. Walayazu billah. If Allah wants, it is very easy that a person might, you know, do something wrong and immediately you will have a laser laser print, or I don't know. Nowadays you have so many types of prints. It will be written on the forehead. That can easily happen. But look at the hilm of Allah Azza wa Jal. That Allah is very tolerant. And there is nobody who tolerates more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nobody who tolerates more than Allah Azza wa Jal. People commit sins upon sins. People disobey day and night. People neglect Allah Azza wa Jal. People go against Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah tolerates them. So if Allah can tolerate him day and night, and Allah knows everything about him, who am I to expose him? Who am I? In fact, it is not a good thing to know the weaknesses of other people. Although human being has this weakness to find out about other people's weaknesses. Because that is a food for nafs. Our nafs becomes very pleased when we get to know other people's weakness. Why? Because when we know other people's weakness, that can help us have arrogance. That can feed our arrogance that I am better than him. Ana khayrun min. Ana khayrun min. I am better than him. Well, he has this weakness, he has this weakness. So, although human being has this weakness to know other people's weaknesses, but it is not good to know other people's weaknesses. Because when you are after other people, you neglect your own islah. You neglect your own self. That rather than working on yourself, rather than improving yourself, you are busy with other people. Well, other people, if they are good, if they are bad, that does not make you anything. Let them be good, let them be bad. If you are going to be busy with other people, you are going to forget your own self. So, Allah Azza wa Jal, He would cover up this person in dunya and akhirah. If a person would cover up somebody else, another Muslim, Allah will cover him up in dunya and akhirah. But for relieving somebody's difficulty, Allah will relieve a difficulty from the difficulties of the Day of Judgment. Why not dunya? Why not dunya? Because you do something good, Allah is going to compensate you anyway. But do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do not do something and then have hope for immediate reward. I do this thing and the next day I want to have this thing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Well, do something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal only. There is no harm, it is not against ikhlas that you do something and you want to have Jannah in return. There is no harm. You do something and you want to have sawab, there is no harm. You do something and you want to have status, levels in Jannah, there is no harm. But do something only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why not? Allah Azza wa Jal, He deserves our sincerity. Allah Azza wa Jal, He deserves our ibadah. He deserves that we dedicate ourselves to His service. He deserves that we express our love to Him. And love does not require any reward. Love does not demand any reward. مَنْ نَفَّسَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah is in the help of a servant as long as that servant is in the help of his brother. If people know this, then they will just go around and look for voluntary work. I want to volunteer myself. Somebody needs shopping, I will go and do shopping for you. You need a ride to the hospital, I will give you a ride to the hospital. There is an orphan, well, I will go and say salam to that family. There is a widow, I will go and ask about them. There is somebody who is not well, I will go and do iyadah. If people know the beauty and the benefit of helping others, then you know, there were rumors, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu did, that he broke his i'tikaf. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was in i'tikaf. And i'tikaf has a lot of sawab. I'tikaf, staying in the masjid for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it has a lot of sawab. No doubt. But the sawab of helping another Muslim, the sawab of helping another Muslim is not less. Wallahu fi awn al-abdi ma kan al-abdu fi awn yakhi. Allah is in the help of his brother as long as a person is in the help of his brother. You see, you need to look at the expression. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not say that Allah would help a person as long as a person would help somebody. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allah is in the help of a person. This shows the action. You know, this person is active. This person is running for somebody. This person is moving for somebody. This person is visiting somebody. This person is helping somebody. Well, Allah is also there helping him. He is in action. Allah is also in action. Obviously, the way it is appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as long as this person is on the move to help somebody, well, Allah is also there for him. Now, if Allah would help somebody, can he fail? If Allah Azza wa Jal would help somebody, if Allah decides to help somebody, can he fail? He cannot fail. Because he is the one who would guarantee success. So somebody who would guarantee success, he cannot fail. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This is one of the things which people have to be reminded more and more, especially nowadays. Because of the comfort of worldly life, people want to keep themselves to themselves. Myself, my wife, my children, my family. Allahu Akbar. The entire creation is Allah's family. Al-Khalqu Iyalullah. The entire creation is Allah's family. So you are worried about your family, but not Allah's family. You have concern for your little family, two children, four children, maximum five children. People nowadays don't have courage to go beyond them. So you are worried about a small number of people. What about the rest? These people, they're not strangers. Allah knows them. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He knows them. And so one way or another, they're your family as well. Al-Mu'min wa akhul mu'min. La yazlimuhu wa la yakhzuluhu. Mu'min is brother of another Muslim. Mu'min is brother of another mu'min. مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم كمثل الجسد الواحد. The example of believers is like an example of one body. So is this just for reading? Is this just for entertainment? That, you know, when you have a big gathering you say all the Muslims are one family and just be happy? This is not for entertainment. This is real. All the Muslims are one family. So the way you have concern for your family, have concern for them. The way if somebody is not well in the family, you run after them. Well, somebody is not well in your community, in your neighborhood, well, go and find out. See if you can help in any way. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla will be in the help of this person as long as he is helping his brother. Now we come to the point. وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever walks a path seeking knowledge in that path, Allah will make it easy for him because of that, a path towards Jannah. A person walking in the path of knowledge. He goes to the masjid because there is a halaqah of ilm. He invites somebody to the masjid because there is a halaqah of ilm, there is a circle of ilm. He is going and meeting with alim so that he can learn something. He is going and meeting with muhaddith to learn a hadith, with the mufassir of the Quran to learn the meaning of the Quran, with a faqih to learn a mas'ala from the masail of deen. Whoever walks a path seeking ilm in that path, now because of this walk, Allah will facilitate for him and Allah will make it easy for him a path towards Jannah. So it is not that he is taking one step, two steps, few steps to the masjid. It is not that he is going to a madrasa, taking few steps. It is not that he is taking few steps to meet with a shaykh, with a alim. He is taking those steps towards Jannah. Isn't that great? Huh? That you are taking these steps, and these steps, they are actually, if somehow if Allah opens eyes, you would see that these steps, they are leading towards Jannah. Obviously our eyes, you know, they have limitations, so we see that it is going to this masjid, it is going to that masjid, we are going here, we are going there. This is what we can see. But if you can see the reality, then you will see that these are actually leading towards Jannah. When the ulama, they learn this, that when you walk, when you take a path seeking ilm, actually Allah will make that path a path towards Jannah. When they understood this, then for the sake of one ayah, they would travel. For the sake of one hadith, they would travel. For the sake of one mas'ala, they would wait for a sheikh. For the sake of one mas'ala, they would wait for an alim. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the famous sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the most knowledgeable among the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he is the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a sahabi. But he was young at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was young. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was born 3 years before migration, before Hijrah. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he was just 13 years old. So quite young. He learned, but obviously, you know, you are 13 years old. So he continued to learn from Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because there is no ilm, there is no barrier for ilm. Okay, you are a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But ilm is a great honor. Being the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is honor. But ilm will add to that honor. Ilm will add beauty to that beauty. Nurun ala nur. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he would go and visit Sahaba radiallahu anhu, so he can know the meaning of an ayah. When this ayah was revealed, in what circumstances, where, you know, what it means, what it does not mean. So sometimes he would visit a Sahabi. He would not knock his door. He would just sit outside. He would just sit outside and wait for him to come out for his own business. You know, when he's going to the masjid, he's going for shopping, whatever. When he comes out, then he would say, "Well, I came here to ask you about this ayah." They would say, "Astaghfirullah. You are the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why you did not tell us? You know, why you did not knock the door? Why you did not say salam? It was not fair that you are sitting on the ground. You are sitting on the floor. There is no sofa. There is no shade." But ilm is such an honor that it deserves any effort. It deserves any humility. In fact, there is no honor without humility. There is no honor without. One of the amazing things I have read about Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahab rahimahullah, that he used to say that honor of any path cannot be achieved without the humility of that path. Honor of any path cannot be achieved without humility of that path. You want to become a great alim, okay, no problem, but you have to become a student first. Right? Many people who are businessmen, they used to wash the cars. Many great businessmen, they used to wash the dishes. Okay, now they are somewhere, but they also used to wash dishes. The honor of being a businessman, it starts with the humility of washing dishes. The honor of being a millionaire, it starts with washing the car, with the humility of washing the car. Now, young person, very talented, very bright, he saw his father has a lot of money. Now he wants to be honorable. Now, if he thinks that the honor of being a businessman is to have a nice comfy chair and to have a nice office and to work in that office and to have people greeting him, that is illusion. That is illusion. He cannot have that honor unless he works hard and unless he faces the humility. I'm not saying this. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyasaf, rahimahullah, he said this. So those who walk a path seeking ilm, Allah will make the path of Jannah, because of that, easy for them. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he used to sit outside and he used to wait for the Sahabi to come out. And this Sahaba, they would say, you know, why you did not inform us? He would say, no, I came to seek ilm. I came to seek ilm, so I would honor you, Ustaz. I will honor you. Unfortunately, one of the reasons why we don't have barakah in ilm nowadays is because of lack of adab. Lack of adab. You say something, the students, they say something. You say something, they mean something. There is no adab. So there is no adab, there is no barakah. As simple as that. Allah is not in need of anybody. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is not in need of anybody. So if somebody has adab, Allah will give him. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal will give people who are weak in their intellect, who are weak in terms of hard working, who are weak in terms of circumstances. But if they are sincere and if they have adab, Allah will give them. I mentioned last week on Thursday about Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib, Saranpuri, rahimahullah. Maulana Yunus Sahib, rahimahullah, in his early days, when he joined the madrasa Saranpur, he used to be unwell all the time. So he's in the madrasa, but he's not well. Now somebody, he is not well, what is he going to do? He cannot study, he cannot revise, he cannot prepare, he cannot pay attention, he cannot remember things. So the teachers used to say, well, go home, you know, take rest. Inshallah, once you become better, you come back. He would say, no, I will stay here. I will stay in the madrasa. Nowadays, people have a little bit of headache, they will have a sick note. I cannot come to the madrasa because I have a little bit of a headache. I have, you know, some fever. Somebody told me that in India, in some madrasas, the students, they keep onions with them. Because if you keep onions, the temperature of the body goes up. I don't know if it is true or not. Right? So if the temperature is a little bit high, so you can go and show your hand. I'm not well. Can I go home? Yeah, go home. Okay, you go home. But Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib, rahimahullah, used to say, no, I will stay here. The teachers are asking him to go home, he would say, no, I will stay here. Okay, he said. But again, 1 month, 2 months, he's not well. for long period of time, he used to be unwell. So the teachers would say, well, you might die. If you are so unwell, you might die. So he would say, I would rather die seeking ilm than sitting at home. And, you know, we hope that he was sincere in what he said. I would rather die seeking ilm than sitting at home. Now, he was not well throughout his, you know, study. But look at the honor Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him. He graduated and he was one of the best students of Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib, rahimahullah. And he became the Shaykh al-Hadith. And then he became Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. In this time, he was Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Hazrat Mawlana, you know, Saharanpur. So anybody who walks seeking ilm, Allah will make it easy for him, a path towards Jannah. وَمَا اجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. And no people gather in a house from the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it among themselves, except that Sakina will descend upon them, and that Rahma will encompass them, and that angels will surround them, and that Allah will remember them in front of those who are with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, we can read the Quran at home. That is good. There is no problem. We can remember Allah Azza wa Jalla at home. There is no problem. We can study the Quran at home. There is no problem. But sitting with other people and studying together, remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla together, studying the Quran together, reciting the Quran together, that has a different beauty. And that has a different blessing. When people gather in a masjid, in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they don't have any other business, they're not there for a business deal, it is very unfortunate sometimes people say, well, let's meet at the masjid. Well, for a business deal, you don't invite somebody to the masjid. At least keep one place pure. At least keep one place clean. So when people gather in a house from the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, they recite the Quran and they study it among themselves, Sakina will descend upon them. Some time ago, I was invited to give a dars of Quran. So I was very excited, you know, learning the Quran and teaching the Quran is very good. I was very excited. I said, okay, no problem, inshallah, whenever you are ready, let me know, and inshallah, you know, we'll make some arrangement. Either I will come or we'll go together, whatever. Then when the time came, I was told that because these people are very busy, everybody is at home. So you sit here, he sits there, he sits there, he sits here. And then what they do, that they choose a cassette and they listen to that cassette together. And then they discuss among themselves about what they have heard. I said, these people, they live in the same area. It is not that like somebody is in one country, somebody is in another country. They live in the same area. Now why can't they make an effort, drive for 10 minutes, drive for 15 minutes, and get together somewhere? And whatever they want to study, why can't they sit and study together? Because sitting together for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and coming together for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, walking together for that place of the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has a different blessing. And that cannot be achieved when everybody is just sitting on his sofa. That cannot be achieved. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has warned in some hadith that I do not want, the meaning of the hadith is that I do not want to find one of you sitting on a couch, you know, similar to takht, throne, or like nowadays you have sofas, mashallah, high and comfy. I do not want to find one of you sitting on a couch. I am saying, Hasbuna Kitabullah. You know, the book of Allah is sufficient for us. Meaning, we do not need anything else. The Quran is sufficient for us. So whatever is the Quran, we accept, and whatever is not there, we reject. Now, isn't that happening? Isn't that happening? That people sit on sofa. May Allah forgive me, I have seen some people, they have big TV, nice, a giant TV, as big as the wall. As big as the wall. And they have a keyboard, and with a remote, they will open a website on the TV. But the same TV was used just 5 minutes ago for something else. The same television, it was used for something else. And now just with the click of a button, you're using for something else. And now you want to sit nice and comfortable, and you want to understand everything. The ilm of the Quran, the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is nur. It is nur. It does not go with darkness. It does not go with darkness. It is as simple as that. That's why Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, شكوت إلى وكيع سوى حفظي فأوصاني إلى ترك المعاصي فإن العلم نور ونور الله لا يعطى لعاصي. أي complaint to وكيع. وكيع is أستاذ. وكيع famous محدث. That my memory is weak. Obviously, Imam Shafi'i, he became عالم المحدث when he was 13 years old. He memorized the Quran probably when he was 6 or 7 years old. Imam Shafi'i, he attended some of the halaqat of hadith, and he was just writing in the air. He did not have any pen or paper. He was just writing in the air. So the Shaykh, he thought that he's just playing, playing around. No, they would not allow anybody to sit with them. It is not like us nowadays. We invite people to attend. They used to say, no, don't attend. Why should somebody attend? People who are not sincere, why should they attend? So, after the lesson, the Shaykh, he called him. I said, what were you doing? He said, I was writing the hadith. I was writing the hadith. Well, where did you write? There is nothing. He said, no, I wrote the hadith and I know it. And then he recalled all the hadith which he narrated in his entire session. And that was not like a talk, like nowadays we give talk. Nowadays we are just talking. It was a session for narrating a hadith. So he will narrate one hadith, and then he will narrate another hadith, then he will narrate another hadith. And then for each hadith he will have a chain. حدثنا فلان قال حدثنا فلان قال حدثنا فلان. It is a difficult job to remember all those names. Who narrates from whom, and who narrates from whom, and who narrates from, and who narrates what. But Imam Shafi'i, he recalled all of those ahadith, all of those narrations. So although he had such memory, but he still considered his memory to be weak. So he said, I complained to my ustaz, Waqi'. That my memory is weak. So Waqi', he said, well, leave the sins. Leave the sins. Now what sins he could have been committing? Because there is a sin for common people, and there is sin for people like Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Because there is a bad memory for other people, there is a bad memory for Imam Shafi'i. That's why these things, they have to be understood very carefully. Otherwise, sometimes people read these things and they say, oh, Imam Shafi'i used to have weak memory. A'udhu Billah. Imam Shafi'i. How can you say that? Because weak memory, somebody remembers hundreds, thousand ahadith, for example, and he can still say, well, my memory is weak. Somebody hardly knows three or four hadith, and he can also say, my memory is weak. But this weakness is different from that weakness. Because of the limitation of the language, this is weak, that is also weak. But this weak is something, and that weak is something different. It is like the famous Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, great alim, faqih, he is usuli, faqih, and one of the best people who have written about ilm of tasawwuf and ilm of akhla. So Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, he says about himself that my knowledge of hadith is very little. بِضَاعَتِي فِي الْحَدِيثِ مُزْجَاتٌ. It is in Ihya, Ihya ul-Umuddin. بِضَاعَتِي, يعني my assets in hadith are very less. You have business, you have different assets. So my assets in hadith are very less. So some people, when they read this, they said, oh, Imam Ghazali, he was weak in hadith. Huh? Imam Ghazali, he was weak in hadith. Well, he was weak for himself, not for you. He was comparing himself to himself. He was comparing his knowledge of hadith with his knowledge of other fields of knowledge. Or he was comparing himself with other ulama who were greater than him. He was not comparing himself to somebody in the 21st century. Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, he wrote Ihya ul-Umuddin from his memory. Ihya ul-Umuddin, which is one of the difficult to read, and one of the diverse, book. It has hadith, fiqh, tafsir, kalam, mantiq, falsafa. It has ilm al-tib, it has, it has all sorts of ulum, politics, ijtima', sociology, psychology, almost anything, everything. That book, it was written by his memory. He did not sit in the library somewhere, quoting or copying from the various books. He wrote that from his memory. So he quoted so many ayahs, so many ahadith from his memory. So how can he be very less in his knowledge of hadith? Yes, he was less in the knowledge of hadith when he compared himself to other people higher than him. So when people gather from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they can recite the book of Allah, they can study it together, Sakina will descend upon them, and Rahmah will cover them, and the angels will surround them. Subhanallah. Wadhakarahumullahu fi man indahu, and Allah will remember them. This is the best. Allah remembers them. Allah remembers them in front of the angels. وَمَنْ بَطَّعَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ وَلَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he encouraged Muslims to relieve the difficulties of Muslims, to be in the help of Muslims, to cover up Muslims, and to walk in the path of seeking ilm, and to gather in the houses of Allah azza wa jal to recite the Quran. So all these actions are required. If you want to become a better Muslim, you need to do this, do this, do this, do this. Okay. Now, I am from a good family. I am from a noble family. I want to be a businessman. I just want to sit on the chair and sign the checks. It doesn't happen. مَنْ بَطَّى بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. Whoever is delayed because of his action, he will not be moved ahead because of his nasab. Whoever is made behind because of his action, he will not be moved forward because of his lineage. Nasab is good if amal is good. Having a nasab will add beauty to amal. If somebody is from a good family and he also does something good. Well, that is, you know, Nurun ala Nur, mashallah, son of so and so, daughter of so and so. He has done this, he has achieved this. That is good. People say, mashallah, you know, he's from a good family, this is what we expect from him. Inshallah, he will do more, he will do better. However, just having a nasab and having no amal will not move him ahead, will not move him forward. If you want to be relieved from the difficulties of akhirah, then do some amal in dunya. If you want Allah to be helping you, then do something. If you want Allah to cover you up, well, do something that you cover other Muslims. If you want to have sakina from Allah Azza wa Jal, rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jal, and if you want Allah to remember you, do something. You know, walk at least once a week, walk to the masjid. At least once a week, walk to the masjid, sit in a gathering, sit in a halaqah of ilm, sit in a halaqah of Quran, sit in a halaqah of dhikr, sit with somebody so that you remember Allah Azza wa Jal. If you want to achieve these things, just being, you know, from a good family, I'm from India, or so what? I'm from Pakistan, so what? I'm from this country, from that country. It doesn't help. In the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, all these things, they mean nothing. I'm from this family, from that family. My father used to do this. My grandfather used to do this. This will not move anybody ahead. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told his family members that on the day of judgment, I cannot help you out. On the day of judgment, I cannot help you out. You have to look after yourself. Yes, you do something good now, I can intercede for you. You know, have something and then I can push you. I can support you. You know, you have some good grades. You just need some extra support. Okay, well, we can have some support and you can get into the university. But somebody has studied nothing. How can he go to the university? مَنْ بَطَّى بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. If a person's amal delayed him, his nasab will not move him forward. May Allah give us understanding. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.